Yo, I'd like to welcome everybody back to the Victor Cruz Show. My name is Victor Cruz. Once again, somebody left the back door unlocked, and Paul Rivera is here. PR found his way to the microphone. And we're back, man. P, how you feeling? Talk to the people.
I am feeling great. I want to talk to someone at Uninterrupted about your tardiness. We'll get into that later. I was going to start.
I can't control
traffic. Here's what I don't understand. I don't understand how.
It's the traffic.
And I gave him the rundown of the
rush
show.
Rush hour.
Except this part, by the way. I'm trying to figure out how you set the times the show's going to start, and you're late.
I left my house at 4 o'clock.
This is crazy.
4 o'clock. And I tell the best part of this, I tell the Uber driver, I'm like, hi, you know, let's not keep straight to go to the Lincoln because it's a pat, you know, the buses.
Mm-hmm.
Let's kind of go off on this Weehawken exit and do the little halfway loop that you just skip the... No, boss, I think it's going to be a little faster this way. I think if we go this way, trust me. I go this way all the time.
He made that face and that voice?
And I look, same, all the above. And I look, and I'm like, are you sure? Because I'm looking over here, and it looks pretty clear. He's like, no, trust me, I know. I go two, three times a day, I go this way. I'm like, all right, trust you, man, but I'm going to time you. Bro, it took us 25 extra minutes. Meanwhile, I'm looking at the road we were on. I'm like, look. Excuse me, boss. If you look to the right, you can see where it's clear. That's where we would have been. I'm just throwing that out there for you.
When Vic, I always hit Vic with the ETA text. He normally doesn't hit me till he's at a landmark that's close. Hey, bro, almost there at the Lincoln Tunnel, at the Dairy Queen on 14th Street. Like, he throws like real, like, it's crazy, man.
But you know exactly where I was,
this
man.
This is true. You got here. Exactly, that's all that matters.
I'm here. We're doing it.
Listen, first and foremost, some business to handle before we get started. I think you saw it. I think you know because it's someone that's very close to you. Incredible news yesterday. Congrats. Blessings to the Smith family, the Smiths.
Mm-hmm.
JR and his family, they brought their daughter home, man. Like, did you see that?
Deal.
You see him post that?
I saw that post, and he's been posting ever since, man. That's a blessing. If anybody knows, JR Smith's daughter was ill upon
birth. She was a preemie, yeah.
She was a preemie.
Like, really preemie.
Mm-hmm. So... I'm just happy that she's home and she's safe and they're able to raise her the right way. And she's going to grow up to not know anything about any of this until it's time for JR to tell her about it. But she's going to live a normal life, and that's just a blessing. So shout out to the Smith family.
Absolutely.
Swish,
huge.
Chris, you know, the whole squad, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Vic, let me ask you that. Like, that's something that, you know, us regular people don't think about, right? Like, they think, like, you athletes are superheroes. You guys make a lot of money. Like, how come he can't make a free throw? Or you guys make a lot of money. How come, you know, it's like no one realizes you guys deal with, like, real shit off the field and off the court. Like, real family issues, real sicknesses. Real, like, you have a daughter. Like, what's that like? Like, having to report into work and punch in and having real shit going on at home?
I mean, I don't even think professional athletes get as much credit as they deserve to the level that they have to compartmentalize things and just focus on the task at hand. This isn't, you know, we're not a 9-to-5 with a suit on in front of a computer all day. We have to go out there and perform. And a lot of that performance depends on how our emotional state is. Mm-hmm. If our emotional state's messed up, you know, we're dropping rocks and we're not the same. We're forgetting plays because our mind is somewhere else.
And it's crazy because the average person can call into work, you know, I'm having a rough day at home.
I'm out of here. You know,
you can't do that on Sunday.
You know what the Giants do? You know what the Giants do? Hey, man, you could be deathly sick, and you call Ryan, hey, I can't make it in today. I can barely walk. Yeah, we're going to send a car for you to just roll over into the car, get here. We have some meds to give
I saw that. Well, I think it was
crazy.
Was it Matt Harvey, the Mets pitcher?
Mm-hmm.
He called in, was like, hey, man, I feel terrible. I don't even think he was pitching that day.
He
said, yeah, cool. We're sending 2 security over to your house just to make sure everything's cool.
1,000%. First of all, I don't have no remorse for MLB pitchers. Major League Baseball pitchers.
Here we go.
Bro, y'all pitch 3 times a month, if that. You have
paid
no
very well
and
to do
get paid
too.
Extremely well.
This is true.
Like, get to work, bro. Like, get to work.
Speaking of getting to work, most people are probably listening to this show, aside from knowing that I'm here. any update on your free agency process?
Oh man,
I know you're going through it, and it is a process.
It's definitely a process. I mean, but we're getting there. We're getting close. We're getting, you know, teams are biting, teams are talking. You know, my agent's hard at work. Shout out to Tom Condon, one of the best, if not the best, in the business. He's working, man, and he's, you know, he's working hard to get this thing done. So we're close. We're on the brink, but we're close.
So I won't put you on the spot, but I'll ask you: Is there a short list of teams? There's a list of teams. There's a short list of teams?
There's three teams. There's three teams that are in the hunt right now. Actually, two teams.
Two teams.
We can narrow that down because one's been kind of X'd out as of late. But there's two teams.
Two teams.
And those two teams are Chicago Bears.
Oh, you're going to say the teams?
Yeah, I'm going to say
okay.
the teams. Here we are.
Okay.
The Chicago Bears and the Baltimore Ravens. Those are the two teams that are in the hunt right now.
I can think of 100 pros and cons for both.
What are the cons for Baltimore? Talk to me about that. I mean, The Wire is one of them.
It's Baltimore. I hope you don't end up there and I got to go see you. So it's Baltimore.
I mean,
it's
but
one.
Chicago, I could be doing, I could be on a magazine with Chief Keef.
This is also true. It's cold in Chicago.
It's brick.
Can you salsa in 0 degrees weather?
My hips have unlimited mobility. Unlimited mobility in the cold weather, my G. I had to do it in New York in the freezing cold. So
people forget it gets cold.
It gets cold here. That's true. Someone in Chicago that's lived there for many years said it doesn't really get that blissfully cold until end of January to like April.
Nah, I'm cool.
And we'll be done. We'll be, you know, Super Bowl bound, God willing, and we'll be... You know, packing our bag going. I don't even know where the Super Bowl is. Where's the Super Bowl this year?
Super Bowl this year.
I'm not sure.
I don't know where it is.
It's a good question. It's in California 2020. Did you know that?
No, it's in Miami 2020.
Miami 20. That's where it was.
Miami.
You were telling me that.
Yeah, Miami 2020.
Look, this guy.
I'm going to try to get to the Super Bowl.
He's not going
to
forget.
I'm going to try to play in the Super Bowl in 2020. Whatever it takes to get me to Miami.
Oh, my God. This guy looked up. If I would have saw his face, he's like, no. 2020 is Miami.
I may not know much, but I do know the Super Bowl's in Miami 2020.
1,000%.
Yo, speaking of celebrations and salsa dances and cold weather and all that stuff.
The NFL just changed that rule, B.
Celebration rule.
Can we talk about
what the celebration rule was?
So the celebration rule was you can't use the ball for a prop.
Okay.
You can't have any group celebrations.
Okay.
And then...
Is a group more than one person?
More than one person, yes. So, for example, first game of the year when I had the touchdown against the Dallas Cowboys and I did my salsa dance and Odell came and took a photo.
That's
a group celebration that we got fined for.
Really?
That we were later, they dropped the fine later.
And when you get fined, it's the players or the team?
Oh, no. It's the players, fam.
What's that fine looking like?
It's a lot. Too much. I think that fine was like $7,500.
That's real money.
No, that's real money.
Wait, $7,500 for celebrating a touchdown with your teammate?
It was a group celebration. You can't have a group celebration.
And it's $7,500 each, like you,
each.
Odell?
Each.
Yeah, that's 15 grand.
That's 15 grand. Easy.
So what they change it to now? What's the...
So they change it to now you can use the ball as a prop.
Okay.
You can have group celebrations.
Okay.
And there's one more that's slipping my mind right now, but pretty much the floodgates are open.
What does that do for your celebration?
It just allows me to salsa for just 10 more seconds. I'm just going to be out there. I might add a spin. I might grab someone from the stands. Like, I might make it a full-blown ordeal.
I see nothing wrong with that. I think if you've earned the right to get into the end zone, you should be able to do whatever you want.
So all Puerto Ricans in Baltimore and or Chicago, make sure you get a good ticket to those games in those end zones because I might be pulling you down for a little tango, for a little salsa dance.
What are you going to do with that extra money, the extra $7,500?
Oh, man.
I'm going to Sizzler.
That might be it.
Yo, that's not the only big news coming out of the NFL.
That's true.
Two of my guys.
Colin Kaepernick, he's visiting Seattle today, literally, just came through the wire. And... Man, I'm just happy for him. I'm just happy that a team bit and bringing him in. He's talented.
I was just going to say that. It's crazy because that would be news normally, right? It would be like, hey, Cap's visiting a team, right? And that's great. He's a talented quarterback visiting a talented team. But it's news that he's gone this long without even a nibble.
And let's be clear, there are quarterbacks that have less of a skill set than Colin Kaepernick does and have jobs at the moment, right now. So it's, I think that's what the problem was as we watched, Colin go from the 49ers into this offseason, into getting no calls and then Seattle popping up.
So we obviously have no way of knowing this, but, what are your thoughts? And I'm not putting you in the hot seat like I normally would, but what do you think there could be other matters involved aside from football? And the lack of interest from teams for Cap this offseason?
Maybe. It's hard to tell. I mean, you don't know. I mean, you just think that as a fan because of, the stand that he took a year ago throughout the season and how he was so adamant about what he did, you know, his stand and his positioning on, you know, America and how this country's being run and our government, that you would think the reason he hasn't gotten a sniff from teams up until this point was because certain teams were probably looking at it in a negative light, and or no team wanted to carry that media burden of having a Colin Kaepernick on their team, which you don't know if it's true or not true because you're not in the head of these GMs and these owners, so you don't know. But as a fan looking in, you're just naturally like, okay, they're not touching him because, you know, he's a potential media nightmare and the things that he believes in, and GMs probably don't want that in their locker room or want that around their team.
And I mean, you're led to believe that because if it's based solely on football, mm-hmm. solely on his skill set.
He was supposed to have a job on
Tom. Yeah, by no, I'm not calling him Tom Brady by any stretch, no. But he should have a job.
At least as a number two. And I think, in my opinion, the number two position in Seattle is a great job for him. It fits. Russell is a, you know, that offense is geared around Russell making plays with his legs mm-hmm. when the initial play breaks down. And I think Colin can provide that same type of, you know, those same types of attributes that Russell has. I'm not saying he's as good as Russell.
Right, right.
But I'm saying, God forbid anything happens to Russell, Colin can be there to kind of give them that same type of ability.
So you and I have been very good friends for a few years now. I don't know if I told you I played football, right?
What grade? What grade?
That's neither here nor there. Don't worry about the details.
You were number 80. You were number 80, correct?
That was versatile. I mean, yeah, I wore 80 first on this show. Let's just be clear.
Here we go.
I just wanted to point out that Russ and myself, very similar games.
As we continue on with the topics here.
I'm just going to throw it out there. If you like Russ's game at quarterback, like his skill set, like being able to run it, being able to lead a team, the intangibles, being able to throw it.
You're a leader.
Like,
okay.
Almost like looking in a
mirror. Talk to me about your best game.
Almost like looking in a mirror. I never really played quarterback like in a game.
Got it.
Like not in a game.
Herein lies the truth, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, again, don't sweat the details. I never played it in a game, but we had very similar skill sets.
Oh, man.
Something we can agree on, though. Your guy.
My guy. Odell Beckham.
You're lighting up. You're lighting up as you're saying this,
guy. Because I'm a swoosh. Not only am I a Nike athlete, but I'm a Nike advocate. Mm. Nike runs through my veins, my blood, my pores. And to see my guy Odell Beckham Jr. sign the most lucrative football deal in Nike history is a blessing, man. Just to be able to live to see that, just to be able to know how much he deserves that, and just to know how much, I mean, to be honest, like he transcends the game, the actual game. He transcends the game in so many different platforms in this country as well as in overseas as well. Like, the kid's a star.
I saw a video of him like on top of a car.
People
or
just
something
yelling
like,
his
yeah.
name. I'm yeah. just like, where are you? He's like in Brussels, Germany somewhere. Like, where are you, fam?
Yes.
You know, like
yes.
it's crazy.
Now, you being a Nike athlete yourself and you having, you know, I actually saw another interview you did recently where I thought was dope. They tried to position your relationship with Odell's as like big brother and little brother, mentor and mentee, and you were like, no, that's my brother. Like, we're very good friends, and we spoke about a lot of things, but it wasn't a, like, little brother necessarily. Like, it wasn't like you were trying to son him by any stretch, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. But you being a Nike athlete for a couple of years now, was there ever a conversation he was going through this process of considering whether it was signing with Nike or another brand?
1,000%. We've had many conversations.
What can you share out of those conversations?
And those conversations were just him. He wanted to, because let's be clear. I know everybody saw it. What's the deal? 5 years, 25 mil.
Yeah, at least.
At least.
Yes.
It can go up to whatever. Yes. But the base of the deal, 5 years. For the next 5 years, he's going to be getting $5 million a year.
And
with an extension for
and hold that thought for 1 second, Vic. I think in this world we live in, people are like, oh, that's $5 million for 20. Like, people don't.
I can put it in
perspective.
Please, put it in perspective.
Talk to them, please.
Okay, the next highest paid football athlete,
okay,
was getting $500,000, maybe $1 million.
So you're trying to tell me that we know
over 5 years, not just $500,000 per year.
So we know that at a minimum, Odell's new deal with Nike is $5 million a year for 5 years.
That's what we know right now, yes.
And you're trying to, what you're saying right now is that the second highest paid Nike football player was making $500,000 a year?
Give or take. Maybe 800 grand max.
Wow.
Max. That's why guys like Adrian Peterson was like, I'm out of here. Like I'm out of here. Like, I'm not signing with Nike. They're offering me pennies and not budging. But the thing with Odell, he was getting solicited by other brands for a lot of money. And Nike came at Odell with the minuscule numbers that they were offering at first.
Because that was the market.
Because that's the market that Nike set for themselves.
Right.
Not even from out here from anyone else. Nike set that market for themselves.
Right.
And then once that deal came back from a different brand, Nike was like, oh, snap. We got to, this is different now.
I thought it was play. Oh, okay.
Now it's for real.
Yeah.
So now Nike had to go into the chain of command and get the okay and actually figure out if they felt like this was worth it ultimately in the end.
It's crazy. I was speaking to a friend when the news came out, and this is a friend that's in the industry. And when the news came out, I said, hey, did you see Odell's deal? He's like, no, did it get done? And I said, yes. And I told him the numbers. And he was like, how many sports is he playing this year? Like, is he in the draft? Is he? And when I told him, I'm like, hey, like, he's one of those few athletes, like halo effect. You know, it's like, it's got, in order for it to make sense for Nike or any other brand, it has to be bigger than football.
1,000%.
You know, looking at him.
They're going to have him.
They're not trying to sell cleats.
They're going to have him in Europe everywhere doing things. They're going to have him kicking soccer balls with their Nike athletes in Europe. They're going to have him in Japan doing whatever it is. Like, he's going to be everywhere. And I just want him to understand that it's a business now.
The responsibility that comes along with that,
I mean, there was responsibility with me once I got my own shoe. I got to walk a fine line.
Yep.
I can't wear any other shoe. I can't be seen doing other, you know? And there's a certain responsibility that comes with that, not just in what you wear, but how you carry yourself and what you do. Like, Nike athletes are held to the highest standard.
So last time, I don't know if you remember this, last time I saw you and Odell together, it was before we all went to the Knick game. I won't say where. It's a little steakhouse you love to go to in the cut.
Okay.
They take good care of you.
He's tell my spot.
No, I'm not going to do that. Spot. But he's clearly playing for dinner next time.
1,000%.
Let's just be clear on
1,000%.
But let's also not act like you haven't been busy and there aren't checks coming in on your end. MTV, talk to me, man. The show launched.
The show launched a week ago. The second episode aired yesterday, last night, 9 o'clock. I'm literally watching every show, like, doing research on myself. Like, how do I look? What's my mannerisms?
I have some notes.
Clearly?
I have some notes. I'll send you. We'll talk about it off the
air. Email me the notes.
I'll send them to you. It's totally fine.
But it's all good, man. If anybody saw the second episode, Sean Merriman is off the show. He lost a challenge. It was the funniest thing in the world. So the challenge for yesterday was, it was called Tailgate Barbecue.
Okay.
We wrapped everybody up in Saran, head to toe.
And hold up, for the people that may not know, it's pros.
It's the name of the show is called The Challenge, Champs versus Pros.
Okay.
So pros being current or former professional athletes going up against the champs, quote unquote, of past real world road rules challenge.
But they're not professional athletes.
But they're not professional.
Got
They've never played. Their professional arena are these shows.
Got you.
If you will.
Got you. Okay.
So
there was a challenge.
So there was a challenge. Sean Merriman. And everyone's wrapped in, it's called Tailgate Barbecue. Wrap him up in Saran, head to neck. No one can't move.
So Sean Merriman is wrapped
in a lot
of Saran.
A lot of Saran.
Big budgets. Okay.
Huge buckets on the Saran. So we lay everybody down on the ground. And you go through you have to roll through this obstacle course. So you go up around, you have to turn while you're rolling. You're rolling like a hot dog, pretty much.
I don't think I could do that.
You turn, then you go through the grates like an actual grill.
Okay.
There's grates. And then after you get through the grates, there's a huge, small pool. Not a pool, but like a small tub.
Okay.
Filled with ketchup. Then the next one is mustard. Then the next one is relish. You have to roll through all three of these and make it to these mats that have pictures of buns on them.
Wait, your body is rolling in your ketchup and mustard and
you
relish?
You thought it correctly. This is correct.
Mm-mm.
So, so your man Sean Merriman gets stuck in the ketchup.
It's a big man.
He's stuck, but you have to see him. He is a fish out of water trying to get, and then he gets tired, and then he just stops, and the camera pans over his face, and
while he's in Saran Wrap
with the music, with the song, with the violin, and he's looking up, and he's spitting ketchup out of his mouth. Yo, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. And mind you, they condensed the time of how long he was actually stuck.
So it was actually longer.
It was actually longer, but for sake of TV.
Well, are you there? What is that? What are you doing when you?
I'm standing right there. I'm providing commentary that they obviously cut from the final copy, but like it's just priceless footage.
Was it even close? Like he got blown away.
I was blown away. Yo, girls were circling around this man. Like, excuse me, bro. Watch out.
So he's off the show.
He's off the show. So he got into the elimination round and went up against CM Punk. And the elimination round to stay in the show was you're blindfolded with a spotter. Okay. Someone telling you, hey, he's in front of you. Move to your left. To the opponent. They both had spotters.
Okay.
Him and the opponent had two spotters.
Okay.
And he went up against CM Punk and they're holding sticks. Whoever's the first person to break their stick on the opponent.
Wait.
Yeah.
Break your stick on like your opponent?
Exactly. Like fencing almost. But like I have to break my stick on you in order
on my face?
Wherever. I mean, they have they have helmets. They're wearing helmets and blind. Jesus, Pete.
Yo, I'm serious.
You're not sending anybody to the hospital.
I don't even know if I got benefits right now. I couldn't do that. Wow, okay.
But they have, you know, they're wearing helmets and blindfold and they're wearing padding and all of that good stuff. But yeah, man, he lost. CM Punk hit him 2 out of 3 times in the rounds.
How many people is it down to now? The show, do you know? It's still early. So
still early, but 2 people went home. There was 10 and 10, I believe. So there's like 16 people now total.
Okay. And then when can people watch it? It's Tuesdays.
Tuesday night, 9 p.m. on MTV.
There it is. Now we need to get to this is really why I came here today. I have a real, real, real big issue right now.
Talk to me.
Anyone that knows me, I very rarely have issues. I'm cool, calm, collected. Did you see the final MVP, the NBA MVP finalists?
Blasphemy, if you ask me.
No disrespect to Russell Westbrook, who's had a great year, James Harden, who's had a great year, and Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. There's a name missing from that top three.
The King, of course.
How is that even possible?
I have no idea. But here's my question, P.
Talk to me.
Who gets replaced? Who are you taking off that list to put the King on?
I don't care who you got to take off that list. No, someone has to come off.
Who?
Let's be clear.
Who? Russ isn't coming off. James Harden has had arguably one of the best years that we've ever seen. If it wasn't for Russell, he'd be clear-cut MVP, in my opinion.
Okay.
Kawhi Leonard carried that team all year long.
Okay.
Until, you know, he met his demise with the ankle in the playoffs, whatever the case may be. So it's like, who are you taking off that list?
All great players in their own right. The only untouchable on that list is Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
Okay. James Harden.
But James Harden can't come off.
James Harden only plays one side of the floor.
I give you that.
Okay. He doesn't even try to play defense.
Okay.
I had other NBA players, which I would never say the name, tell me he doesn't even, it's not that he can't play, he doesn't even try to play defense.
Gotcha.
All right? If I'm not mistaken.
But he had a prolific year offensively.
He did. But there's no DHs in basketball. You can't just play offense.
Gotcha.
Okay? I'm almost positive he led the league in turnovers as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to fact check that. Look it up.
And guess who was second? Russell Westbrook.
But Russ, to Russ's credit, he carries a lot of the burden.
Russ was playing like with our engineer. Yes. And he was playing with no one. No,
exactly.
I'm with you on that. But you factor in the no defense from Harden, leading the league in turnovers. That's questionable for me. Okay?
Okay.
Kawhi, as great as Kawhi is, he didn't have a better season than LeBron did. And the proof's in the pudding of I don't believe the Cavs won a game this year that LeBron didn't play in. As great as they are, they had all-stars. Kevin Love's a great player. Kyrie's a great player. Swish, all these guys, they have not won a game that LeBron James hasn't played in. That, to me, is a definition of a most valuable player.
I agree. Look, I'm with you. I think, in my opinion, I think Kawhi Leonard should be taken off the list.
I agree with you.
King James should be.
And
on
again,
that.
That's no those no guys shade. Have, I mean, we're phenomenal talking about rare air. This group,
yeah,
right?
Like, absolutely. Like, but I mean, LeBron he does the most out of all three of them. He does the most. Russell's the only exception because Russell had to do above and beyond to carry that team. But King James does the most on any NBA team in terms of passing the ball where it needs to be, assisting, blocking, scoring, rebounding. The man, if he really wanted to, he can average a triple-double all year long. If he really wanted
to. If it was his goal, I believe he could.
1,000%.
I believe he could. Our good friend, you were recently on the show, who we're both a fan of, Rachel Nicholson, she's been saying that the NBA should have a most valuable player and the best player every year.
Gotcha.
Right? It's almost like in football. What do you guys do? You guys do best offensive player, best defensive player,
and then MVP.
And then MVP. Exactly. It should be that. Like, it should be that. There should be an offensive player in the NBA, because then I have no problem with James Harden winning that.
Yeah, because that's him.
No problem. But, he's a problem. Like,
but then, because he wins that, and then Russell wins MVP.
Yes, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I have no problem
with
that.
I have no problem with that.
They're going to have to change that at some point.
It's like, you know, the whole voter fatigue, the whole, I get it, MJ would have been MVP every year. Then you know what? If he was the most valuable player, he should have won it every year.
I also don't like the rule where the media members get to choose who makes all NBA teams and all of that. That in turn directly affects how much money these guys
can
earn.
I saw it cost Paul George some real money.
Real.
I want to say like $30 million or something.
No, like real money. And I'm just like, how do the media, like let's say I have a bad game and I say something crazy to a media member just out of anger, and now that media member has a vote in the All-NBA, on the All-NBA team, and because of that interaction, he doesn't like me, and he doesn't vote for me, and therefore, out of spite, which we'll never know, and then I lose out on $30 million that I could have used.
Maybe you should be nice to media. Maybe you should be nice to all the media.
But sometimes things get heightened. You're in the midst of, you know, it's an emotional game.
No, I agree with you. I think, look, it's all rare, these guys, right? We're talking about the top three or four basketball players in the, you know, in the world. I just think, you know, you can't, it ruins the credibility of any award if LeBron James isn't in the conversation for most valuable player. I'm not saying he should win.
No, I'm with you.
Whether he wins or not, cool. Russ had an incredible season. These guys had an incredible season. It takes away from the credibility of an award if he's not in the conversation.
I feel the same way. By the way, I was watching, shout out to Cleveland. They won last night.
Wow, what a game.
And it's bothering me that it's even, you know, it's tooth and nail without Isaiah Thomas. And there's no, it's bothering me. But either way, I'll take the win.
Okay.
And either way, you got to face what guys are out there. And Boston's a tough team.
Yes, they are.
And they're scrappy, and they know Isaiah's gone, but they're going to fight, man. And I got to give them all the credit in the world.
Yep.
But what I want to talk to you about briefly is after the show, Shaq and Barkley get into it again.
Did you see this?
Shaq almost threw a chicken wing at your boy Charles.
Now, did it seem like they were trying to be funny, or it was like a real situation?
It was a fine line.
Why did it start?
It was a fine line. Shaq said something along the lines of, Barkley started it for sure.
Of course.
And Shaq said something along the lines of, you know, you only went to one championship and you got derailed. And then, you know, and then Barkley went back at him and goes, you know, if you weren't riding on Dwayne Wade's and Kobe's coattails, oh, he hit that nerve. You know, Charles Barkley don't care. And he was like, yo, and Shaq went right, yo, one of these days I'm going to punch you right in your face. But smiling, like,
right,
you
like
know.
Hee hee, but, you know.
And Charles said, oh, if you want to do that, we're going to have to move some furniture around up in here.
That's old school talk right there.
And then he said, you push me in my face, it's going to be something to be said, something like that. Shaq went and lifted they had some servings of chicken wings from the local place.
That's when I turned it. I saw they had, like, mac and cheese and chicken
and
all
the
stuff.
Food
yes.
there. And Shaq said, what? And lifted a chicken wing and was about to heave it at
He didn't throw a chicken wing at him.
He didn't throw it because Kenny Smith had on a cream suit.
I did see it.
And Kenny was like, oh, don't. As soon as he picked it up, don't do that, Shaq. It's going to get on my suit. And you're going to see.
Let's be clear. Any man throws a chicken wing at me.
Oh, we're moving some furniture around. In the words of Charles.
And we might have to fight every time I see you.
1,000%.
Just going to throw a chicken wing.
Those feelings are going to be.
Was the chicken wing eaten, like half eaten? Because that makes it so much more disrespectful.
It was fresh. No, it was fresh. Okay. I don't think Shaq bit into it.
Okay. Speaking of Shaq and Chuck, these NBA playoffs, there's been a lot of mixed reviews on them. Like, oh, they're boring. Oh, sweeps and
not
this
mixed.
And that, right?
They've been crickets. I'm not going to lie to you. Everyone's just sitting around waiting for the finals.
Of course. So, shout out to Golden State. right? They handled their business, yep. and they're, they you know, in the NBA Finals for the third year in a row, which is crazy,
yep.
right? Shout out to, you know, a friend of the program and our, one of our podcast label mates, Draymond. Right?
Yep.
He has
what up,
a
Draymond?
Podcast on Uninterrupted.
Congratulations.
Dre Day.
What's this, third year in a row now they made it to the?
Third year.
Third year in a row.
Third year in a row. And then Cleveland now was, I guess, 10-0. What, four? Yeah, 10-0. And then Boston shocked them. Mm-hmm. And it was the end of the world that LeBron had a bad game.
11 points.
End of the world.
Yo, Papa, he's Superman. You know, he can't have a bad game. That doesn't happen. That's not supposed to happen to the kid. Not El Rey.
El Rey.
Not El Rey. You feel me?
Someone said, I can't remember who it was. Someone said, that game proves even more so how incredible LeBron is in that. If he has a bad game and they're playing against Boston without their best player and the Cavs have two other All-Stars, they still lost. Like, that's how important LeBron is 100%. To the Cavs.
But I think Kyrie took that so serious.
Did you see him last night?
He took that. He's from New Jersey, by the way.
I was going to ask, how many times did you shout Jersey at the TV last night?
At least 100. Every point. Especially when he hit the one right before the buzzer and he hit the, you know, when you're already 5 feet from the 3-point line and then you take a step back, pause, and then you shoot it and then you make it.
Nah, when he hurt the ankle and I saw him tie the shoe,
I said, oh, you knew what time it was.
This is Isaiah Thomas moment. This is like
his. He's from New Jersey, P. He wasn't coming out that game. And there was a quote. I remember going on Instagram on my popular page and I saw a quote and I see him on the ground. I'm like, let me click on this. And his quote was, I wasn't coming out that game. No way.
He showed a little dog. He showed he had dog in him. I'm going to keep it all the way real. His game and my game.
Here we go.
Very similar.
Here we go.
No, I'm just, listen, very similar in that we can give you whatever you want.
Yeah.
Go to the cup, take a little bit of cook up up top, embarrass you, hope your family's not, not here in the stands. You know what I'm saying? Embarrass you, leave you up top, drop you off at the rim, finish with the left or the right.
Got the English off the backboard
and listen, everything? Listen, if you want to get cute, and I got the 3-2. We step back, do that too.
Oh God!
I'm just saying, I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. I know I joke a lot. Seeing him last night, it was like seeing myself play again.
Somebody wake me up, yo! Please,
a hater.
Somebody wake me up, man.
So okay, finishing NBA playoffs. Cavs are up 3-1. They should handle their business and get to the finals. I'm not going to ask you for predictions. We'll do that on the next show.
Okay, because I can give you one right now.
But we're not going to do that.
Wait. We'll hold off.
What are you most looking forward to? I'll ask you that in the NBA Finals.
I'm looking. Everybody's, you know, I'm excited about Kyrie-Steph Curry matchup. Ooh. I'm excited about LeBron-KD matchup. That's going to be, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm excited about, but what I'm most excited about, I know Tristan Thompson's going to hold it down. Mm-hmm. He's a savage.
You're not going to say what I think you're going to say right now.
I'm excited about the Kevin Love.
You're about to say it.
Draymond Green matchup. Mm. That's the matchup, in my opinion, that is going to tell the series, the entire series.
I don't disagree with you on that.
It really is.
X factor.
LeBron and KD are going to exit. They're both going to put up 25+.
They're going to do what superheroes do.
And they're going to do what they do.
Yep.
Kyrie and Steph, they're going to put up 25. They're going to do what they do. They're going to ball.
Yep.
Them X factors are going to be Kevin Love and Draymond Green. Who wins that battle? Battle of the boards and battle of guarding each other and holding each other to X amount of points.
I agree with you. I think they both have advantages, right? Or strengths. I think Kev Love is playing at a higher level than he was last year. Mm-hmm. Just at 17-17. Yep. I think he just looks more comfortable.
Extremely more
comfortable. Looks comfortable in his own skin.
That's because LeBron, they find him.
This is true.
Not that they weren't before.
No, this is true. But he's comfortable. Yeah, he's comfortable in his skin.
And
if he misses a shot.
And in basketball, comfort is a huge deal.
100%. So Kevin's playing at a higher level than he was last year, but so is Draymond.
100%. Right?
I've said it before. I'm not saying Draymond's the homie. I'm not saying Dre is the best player on Golden State. That's Kevin Durant, let's be clear. But he's the most.
It's not Steph Curry.
No.
Whoa.
Kevin Durant
is
the best player on the Golden State Warriors roster. It's not even debatable.
Okay. I agree. Just throwing it out there. Our fans want to hear that. Our fans have a view that Steph Curry is the guy.
Hey, listen, no disrespect to Steph.
He's the best shooter we've ever seen.
Best shooter I've ever seen in my eyes.
Hands down. Ray Allen will tell you that.
Right? Best shooter I've ever seen. But Kevin Durant's the best player, the most talented player on that team, the best player on that team. But Draymond Green's the most valuable player.
He's the most important. 100%.
So when you get that clash of those two guys, Kev Love doing what he's been doing and playing at the level he's been playing, and Dre bringing what he brings to the table. And by the way, Dre's got that dog in him too.
100%. Right?
For better or worse, he's got that 100%. Dog. He plays like he was drafted in the second round with a chip on his shoulder. He plays how you play.
Yep.
Right? You don't forget that. You feel like you got to prove yourself every game. So that should be interesting. But I'll take it a step further. I think Tristan Thompson is a big key to this finals.
He's a beast. I agree. Who's going to keep JaVale McGee?
No, cut it out. Anybody got a little rat tail or whatever you call
that?
Can't beat me at anything in life.
Jesus Christ.
Nothing.
Oh, man.
You got a little rat tail, you can't beat PR at anything in life.
Yo, you know what's crazy? I just saw that. I'm not checking for, no disrespect, but I'm just not looking at JaVale McGee like that. Mm-hmm. And then, he went up for a layup, and I was like, what's that?
And
dirt patch.
And the rat tail caught some wind.
And it
in the
was
back.
What is that? Who still does this? 2017.
My money's on Tristan in that matchup. Tristan's been playing at a really, really, really high level.
And Tristan just has a good eye for when that ball comes. He knows exactly how that ball's going to fall off the rim. That's a genius level talent. Mm-hmm. That's not a.
Well, it's funny.
You can't learn that.
It's funny you say that. We were having this conversation in New Orleans. It was me, Rich Paul, Mav, Randy. Shout out to the fellas. We were talking about how that's a skill. It's a skill to know what you're really good at, and it's a skill to know what you're not good at. And Tristan is very clear on what his skill is.
100%.
I'm excited for those same exact matchups you said. I'm just excited to see them get it on, man.
It's overdue.
The most cliched saying in sports is, heavyweight fight. This is going to be a heavyweight fight.
1,000%. I forget who said the quote, but it was somebody on the Warrior team. They asked him, who do you want?
It was one of the owners.
It was one of the owners, right? Yeah. Who do you want out of the Eastern Conference? We want Cleveland. We have some unfinished business, is what they said.
Be careful what you ask for.
It's going to be, I think this rematch, this is the third time they played.
Third time, both of them.
Wow. This the third time's the charm is what the people say.
Mm-hmm. Rubber match.
And I think this one is going to be the one that we talk about for a long time, man. A long time.
Speaking of monumental feats.
Talk to me.
The artist known as Drake. Or if you're Dominican, Drake.
Yo, that segue wasn't just too perfect for him to lay the
greatness.
Ball up.
Greatness. The artist known as Drake or Drake up in Dykeman.
Drake. I'm done right now.
Recently, I don't know, do you watch the Billboard Awards? I'm not sure if you watched them.
I caught a piece of it.
So if you caught any piece of it, you probably saw him winning an award.
1,000%. All 13.
Drake won 13 Billboard Awards.
Listen, and I love Adele. She's sweet. She's a good person.
No disrespect to Adele.
No disrespect to Adele. But it's quiet for you, baby girl.
13 Billboard Awards. Did you see the performance?
I missed the performance. I literally turned to it, and the performance had just ended. I missed it.
He performed, I think, in front of the Bellagio.
I saw that.
In front of the fountains.
On a little pier or something, right?
It's like, I like to think of it, he was on the water.
I like that he had Baca out there.
That was a big deal. Yeah, no long talking.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? You see Baca, there's no conversation to really
be had.
Exactly
what's going down.
Yep.
You
might
see
get smacked.
Yep.
If you're lucky. If you're lucky, you end up with a smack.
Quick Baca story.
You have a Baca story?
I have a Baca story. So if anybody pays attention to my Instagram or my IG story, y'all saw that I went to Drake performed at the Adult Swim show during Upfront's week.
Yep. Secret performance, right? Wasn't announced.
Secret performance, right? Wasn't announced. Yep. Only people that knew were Adult Swim people. And $2 Steve. Yo, shout out to $2
He's
Steve.
Everywhere.
He's a legend.
Everywhere.
I watched him work that OVO room in backstage. They love this man.
And I still don't know what he does, by the way.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
No idea. So shout out to $2 Steve. He got, he hit me up. Do I want to come? And got me fully dialed in. And show's over. I'm walking out. And I'm walking behind Drake. It's Drake, Baca, me, my homie that I was with, Sosa. And we were all walking out.
Okay.
And just finished the show. It's on my, Baka, he's a real long time. And I'm just singing it. I don't know that that's Baka that? In front of me.
Oh, shit. That's funny.
I have no idea.
That's funny.
And I'm singing the words, and he looks back at me. He's like, yeah, what's up, man? And I kind of didn't even put it together. And he dapped me up and was like, y'all gonna come to dinner? And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna be at dinner. He was like, all right, you know, my das or something, he said to me. And I was like, okay. And then I walked away.
That guy's really friendly.
I turned around like, that was Baka.
Yes. Yes.
And it was just a moment that I was like, oh, that was crazy.
You know what's going to happen now, right?
Talk to me.
Every time he watches a football game, an NFL game, and you're on the TV, he's going to be like, yeah, that's one of my biggest fans.
That's Cruz?
Yeah, that's Cruz. Yeah, he was shouting me out. You know, he was singing my song, you know, Baka.
That's hysterical. Listen,
has Kendrick ever won 13 Billboard Awards?
Not yet. I can say that. Not yet.
I will say this.
But I need to know.
Are we going to do this? Are we going to do this?
This is the question. I'm gritting my teeth right now because it's getting me excited.
Why does it always end here? Why does it always end up here?
And not for nothing. After going to the Drake show.
Uh-huh. Talk about it.
Obviously, I've been to Drake shows.
Talk about it.
Drake has a show, man.
Drake has a catalog of hits. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go here.
Wow.
No one has his catalog.
No, not even close. It's not close. I was
trying to tell you. He's
bringing up different little tidbits.
I just don't understand why you refuse to give him.
I want to know. I want Drake's playlist. I'm using air quotes, people.
Yeah, More Life was a playlist.
I want Drake's playlist to be up against Damn in these Grammy talks. In these Grammy talks, I need to know if these two are eligible. Are they going to be in the same categories? I want these two juggernauts to go head to head and go at it and see who nets out, see what's up out here, fam.
By the way, speaking of which,
what'd you just look up, my G?
No, I'm not. I'm gonna tell you. We all have a bunch of, you know, as I'm sure our listeners do.
By the way, in hindsight, James Harden was second in the league in turnovers.
Who was first?
Russell Westbrook.
Oh, I had it flipped. I thought Harden was first.
Harden was first. And okay, Russell was second. He was second.
Proves my point.
Still,
there you go.
Still, doesn't matter.
In one of my many group texts, I have a group text, and I'm in one with the family. You know, I'm in one with LeBron and Rich and Mav. And LeBron sent the text today, unsolicited. We're not talking about music. We're not talking about anything. And it says, how y'all let a conscious N-word go commercial while only making conscious albums? How y'all let the braids on TV? How y'all let the hood at the table? Now y'all don't even know how to rate him. K-Dot on Mask Off Remix.
That Mask Off Remix is wowzers. I was going to bring that up. You know that was... you just beat me to the punch. He bodied that remix, dog.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the type of remix that you body that's going to be played for a long time. Like, that's going to be the version they play now. They're not playing they're not playing the regular Mask Off anymore. Those days are over.
Let me ask you this.
I'm all ears.
If you're an artist, and you know you got a smash, which, by the way, French Montana has a smash.
Oh, that's the song of the year, PR.
Smash.
It's not even a thing.
We could play a game called Words You Never Thought You'd Hear Come Out of PR's Mouth. French Montana has a smash.
Is it
Sway Lee?
I might go to Summer Jam just to hear. Do you understand when he comes out at Summer Jam and that thing rings off in Summer Jam? Shout out to the Shiggy Show. Yo, Shiggy, I can't think of that song without seeing Shiggy and Fatboy Say dancing to that actual song.
100. Illest song out. Let me ask you this. If you're an artist, let's just say you're an R&B artist, right? R&B, doing the salsa and shit. You're an R&B artist, and you have room on your single, your lead single, for a hot 16.
Oh, man.
Where are you going?
It
you have an
on
open
the
Rolodex. You can No. We're not gonna throw anything in it. You have room on the track for a hot 16, and your livelihood. I've met your daughter, beautiful. Your livelihood depends on it. Private school depends on it. Food on the table depends on it. Who are you calling to get on your track?
It depends. What Drake am I getting? Is it reggae Drake?
Don't do this.
Is it R&B Drake?
Don't do this. Here's the thing, you can get whatever Drake you
Should've
want.
Should've came back for you. I just needed time to do what Drake am I getting?
Don't do this, Victor. Do not.
With that being said,
you know who you're calling.
I'm choosing Drake.
Of course you are.
I'm
not a fool. You want to eat.
R&B artist.
You want to eat, don't you?
But my thing is, am I a rap artist? and I got room for 116 on my lead single. Who am I calling?
I think it's the same phone call. I think it's one phone call. Saved yourself a phone call. You're making one call.
But I'm making a rap album.
I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen. Y'all gonna, it's people like you that are gonna piss Drake off.
And I want him to be just upset. Do a rap album. I want Drake, if you're hearing this, I want you to be upset, fam. I want you to make another album where you just rapping for 19 songs
people
straight and you talking that.
That
talk.
People don't want that.
Who don't want that?
People don't want
that's
that.
That's what the people just... are. You know what? You know what, Drake? You should do a double album. He's not at the same time. Doesn't have to be at the same time.
Okay.
It don't got to be a Nelly sweatsuit situation.
Okay. Talk to me.
Drop a rap album in January. Then drop an R&B album right in time for the summer.
We can call Future the Prince and make that happen, probably.
It feels like an easy call. It feels like an easy fix.
Yo, speaking of summer, you and I both have like a lot of travel coming up. Some of it, we're going to the same places. Shout out to Ronnie Fieg. We're going to his wedding. We talked about it on the last show. I have an issue that my very close friends know I have. I am a chronic overpacker. I could be going away for a weekend, and I'm bringing out the bad boy to me on rollers. I'm bringing the duffel. Like, I have an issue overpacking.
Gotcha.
If I wanted to have, and I have them at my disposal, I can go to Flight Club, I can make a phone call, whatever I need to do. So don't worry about when they came out, are they still available, just in general. If I wanted to have 5 sneakers in my rotation for this summer, you being the fashion aficionado you are and the sneakerhead and having your own signature shoe, what 5 sneakers would you recommend I have in my rotation and are always in that roller to me bag? Where are we starting?
Okay. I mean, 5 sneakers that you got to have in the to me at all times,
yep,
just
going,
in case.
They're going on every trip.
When you're ready for war. Okay, one has to be the Air Trainer Cruise. Let's just get that out.
I'm not mad at that at all.
Let's get out. Okay. Any, you pick a colorway. They're all
no specific color.
No specific color.
Okay.
They're all ambidextrous, if you will. Left, right, up, down, whatever you want to do.
Okay.
They match with everything. Secondly, has to be the Jordan 3.
Classic.
Either black cement, white cement, or true blue.
Okay.
Those three. Those are the only 3 colorways you can bring.
Okay. We have the Jordan Air Trainer Cruise. I mean the Cruise.
And the Jordan 3.
And the Jordan 3. Okay.
Third shoe has to be Air Max 97 in the silver bullet or the gold that just dropped the other day.
Those
are instant classicos.
Love it.
Fourth one is just a classic Air Force One. Wow. The white one.
I was a little nervous you were going to leave that off your list,
from
man.
New Jersey, Papa. Okay. Like, that's got to be on the list.
Okay.
Four is just an Air Force. They just go with everything. Everything. And last but certainly not least, you got to go with a classic shoe for me. And it's the Air Max 95. I mean, you can't, my entire childhood is dependent on that, was dependent on that shoe.
Run down the 5 for me again.
Air Trainer Cruise.
Yep.
Air Max 97. Jordan 3. Air Force 1. And Air Max 95. And then, just for honorable mention,
The carry-on. Could fit another pair.
You got to go Bred Jordan 1. Huh. Or any Jordan 1. You not go Bred Jordan 1. You can go Black and University Blue Jordan 1. You can go all white OG Jordan 1. Hot. Like any Jordan 1 classic, you can't go wrong.
So you're not buying into the whole luxe sneak. Like, so we're staying in the Nike family.
Nike family. I'm not with the, the Gucci. No. You're not doing that.
And am I good? You know how I travel. I'm good, whether I'm going to the hood or I'm going to Mykonos. That rotation keeps me
right. Get it done. Mykonos, Air Force One lower, get it done. Okay. You know what I'm saying? In the hood, Air Max 95 will get it all the way done. You might get a couple dudes pointing at your shoes like, that's a good feats right there, my G. You figured you did good today.
Like I always say, the safe bet if you're buying a whip is like, there's no one, not Jay, not Drake, not LeBron. If you're in a Range Rover at the light, no one can front on you. They might pull up on in a more expensive whip, the Maybach, whatever it is, but no one can front on you in a Range.
Never.
What you're telling me is, with those 5 pairs of sneakers you just chose, no one can front on me.
No one can front on you.
I'm good.
Not even close. If somebody fronts on you, send them my number. Have a conversation with them real quick. Oh, man.
So listen, before we get out of here, you and I are going somewhere after this that I'm super excited about, man.
We are going to, is it a documentary, Pete? Yeah. But I know it's a three-part series.
Yes. It's a screen. We're going to the screening.
Going to the screening. The name of the screening?
The Defiant Ones.
Man, it's a story about Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre, how they started Beats by Dre. And just you showed me about a 45-second, 60-second clip, and I was already sold.
You said you were ready to run through a wall. You said
I was ready to just elbow the window of the car and bust out of there and run 40s. Like, it was for real.
I'm excited to watch this.
I'm excited to go. I mean, we're probably already running late a little bit.
You know what? At least you're on brand. You're late to the show. You might as well be late to, like, whatever the next thing is.
Yeah. So let's depart this show right now and go ahead over there, man. This is the Victor Cruz Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You guys have been loyal. Shout out to the new people that are listening to the show. Hope you stick around, man, and listen to all the good stuff we got to say. This has been the Victor Cruz Show, man. Thank you, P. Take us out of here.
Peace.
Peace.